Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals. They do have a day off today, but they're off to a 3-1 start after yesterday's 3-0 win over the Cleveland Indians. Danny Duffy was stellar yesterday. Six innings, just two hits allowed, no earned runs. Off today, as I said, and they're back at it tomorrow. Starter to be determined. Maybe we'll find that out later on this afternoon.
Carlos Hernandez for personal preference.
Seems like that's a possibility. Maybe is there a chance that it's a Hernandez and Junius type of situation tomorrow? We know Brad Keller will now pitch on Thursday when they open up a series in Chicago against the White Sox. We'll talk more about this start because they are off to their best start since 2016. I get it's only four games, but it's certainly a pleasant sight considering the alternative recently, which has been 1-4 starts, 0-3 starts, you know, things like that. So nice sighting yesterday again from the Royals, and certainly the pitching staff in particular was a pleasant surprise on the starting end. It's been a little
Very
while
good.
Since we could talk about a starting pitcher having a good outing.
It was, yeah, and they had three obviously rocky starts, but it didn't matter because they'd won two of those three games. Now 3-1 to start the season? I'm feeling pretty good. Like you said, best start since 2016, Gold. We have to feel better about the Royals right now than we did even a few days ago, even though it's early in the season and we're not delusional yet.
Yeah.
Give me a few more weeks. They start 6-1, and I might start having a conversation. Next up on What's Trending, Baylor wins their first national championship last night in a complete rout. A rout of Gonzaga. Up as much as 18 in the first half. Won the game by that much. Only had a 10-point first-half lead. That game was legitimately never close. Baylor just looked bigger, if we're being honest. More athletic and bigger. And that's saying a lot, because Gonzaga has multiple NBA talented players on their roster, but it didn't matter. Baylor went on to win their first national championship. That is the first national championship by a fellow Big 12 school, so like someone that's not Kansas, since 1946. Oklahoma's been in Final Fours. Texas has been in Final Fours. Obviously, some other teams have made runs. But K-State made that Elite Eight a few years ago. No other team in the Big 12 has won the national championship besides Kansas since 1946. They weren't even Oklahoma State then. They were Oklahoma A&M the last time somebody did it. So the Big 12 getting a national championship on the game last night.
Yeah, the Big 12 didn't even exist.
It was Big Eight. Yeah.
It was way, way, way back. And obviously what Scott Drew has done is remarkable there at Baylor. And last night it was disappointing. I think we're all hoping for a better game, but just from start to finish, Baylor's defense and athleticism just caused all kinds of havoc for Gonzaga. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas has its new athletic director, Travis Goff. He'll be introduced tomorrow at a 10 a.m. press conference, but he most recently had been over at Northwestern. Had spent some time in the KU athletic department some years back. Is a KU grad from Dodge City. Also was down in Tulane for a little while. Look, you can go through and, like, as far as checking the boxes, he certainly checks all the boxes.
They usually do.
But it's going to come down to his football hire, and does he need to make a hire? The question is, right now, do you stick with the interim head football coach? I'm sure tomorrow that will be one of the questions he gets asked at his press conference, and ultimately the football program's success is how people will judge the job that Travis Goff does, fair or not, but that's how it's going to work. And, you know, his salary, it's a five-year contract. First 3 years, he's making $700,000. It actually is one of the lower athletic director salaries in all of the Big 12, but he'll be introduced tomorrow.
Good luck making a football hire that works.
Yeah,
that's the key, Goff.
Yeah.
You got a free and clear right now. That's the key. Next up on What's Trending, we had hoped Kansas City would be in the running for, but it was announced yesterday, Colorado, the Rockies, will get the 2021 All-Star Game. There were a few factors that went into it. One, they were already working on a bid for an All-Star Game. Two, They were an NL team. They were trying to keep it there, and there are probably some other political factors that go into some of those decision-making as well. But Colorado gets a 2021 All-Star game, so not coming to KC. Yeah. Obviously a disappointment. I thought Milwaukee would have been a good choice, too, just because they were going to celebrate Hank Aaron at this All-Star game anyway. So doing it in Milwaukee would have done that. Kansas City, too, because the Negro League Baseball Museum. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. So it's heading to Colorado for the upcoming 2021 All-Star game.
Yeah, definitely a bummer there. And I think also maybe, you know, the fact that the Rockies had a week off or have a week off before the All-Star game.
They're out of town.
On the road, I mean, yeah. Being the fact they're on the road helps their cause for getting that. Next up on What's Trending, the Jets trading their quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. And now we all presume they will draft Zach Wilson, almost a sure thing, at number two overall. But the Panthers send the Jets a sixth rounder this year and then a second round and fourth round pick in 2022. Teddy Bridgewater still in the mix there, but reports are that the Panthers are going to allow Teddy Bridgewater to seek a trade, as clearly they're invested in Sam Darnold, at least for the next year or two, because they have already considered and reportedly will pick up the $22 million fifth-year option on Sam Darnold's contract for next season, as in 2022.
Well, they're paying $22 million to Teddy Bridgewater this year. $20 million dead cap hit to cut him, so you only save $2 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure that they're interested in Teddy Bridgewater finding another home via trade. If a team will take on even part of that salary, Washington, you would feel like that's probably at least a decent play. Next up on What's Trending, Fernando Tatis just got that huge contract. Well, part of the concerns over why he would be given a contract is he hadn't stayed healthy for 162 games. Looks like that's not going to happen again. He left a game yesterday after a violent swing left him with a shoulder sublimation. I can't even remember how to pronounce that now. It's a dislocated shoulder. It's the same injury Adalberto Mondesi had back in 2019. And now he's faced with two options. The same Mondesi was. You can either wait 3 to 6 weeks for it to heal and then try to play. And it there's a risk of re-injury, just so you know, even if it does get healed and feels good. Or you can have the surgery and be out 5 to 6 months, ending his season. If I'm Tatis, I go ahead and try to wait out the time and then play. Because if I have to have the surgery in July because I re-injure it, I'm still going to be ready by the time spring training hits. There's no real risk for him, other than long-term effects, of trying to take the time to do it. But God, devastating blow for the Padres to lose their most talented player in Tatis.
You never like seeing that. And you know, what decision is he going to choose? What path, I should say, is he going to choose? And Padres' World Series aspirations, and they're all in with what they've been able to do in the last offseason or so. And lastly, on What's Trending, we're only 4 days into this season, or four games, but already a trade in Major League Baseball. The Brewers reportedly are trading their shortstop, Orlando Arcia, to the Atlanta Braves. Arcia.
It's 4 games. How do you trade someone after 4 games?
Is he available in our league?
I don't know.
I have no idea. 4 games in, Serta.
He's a shortstop.
He's
trying to replace Nicky already?
He already, by the way, on opening day, won a game for the Brewers in walk-off fashion. He had the hit to win it. 3 games later, he's traded to the Braves. I have no idea what the whole story is there, if they felt confident in going a different direction, clearly. But, yeah, four games in, we've already got a trade.
He's not a tremendous offensive talent by any stretch of the imagination, but he has mostly been a starting player for them. He played 153 games.
He's going to start for the Braves?
2 out of the last 4. I don't know. Maybe just want a bench player? Why are you trading someone after 4 games?
The Brewers, I mean, who's the second base? Who are the Brewers going to roll out there?
Orlando Arcia. What's that?
Said, who are the Brewers going to roll out there now?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. That's what's trending.
They're not very good, but I don't know what they're doing here.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes, your next shot at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And we'll talk about the first 4 games for one Whit Merrifield. He's hitting as good as anybody in baseball. And obviously, we have the Whit Merrifield show here on Cody and Gold Mondays at 11. But the team as a whole, they're off to their best 4-game start to open a season since 2016. And it's, yes, it's 4 games. We get it. We get it. But it's been since 2016 that they were even 3-1 to start a baseball season. And
it's a bit depressing when you say it that way.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we go through and we've talked about, you know, the first 10 games or the first 20 games of a season, and they've dug themselves holes in the past. And is this an indication that they're going to be far more competitive? Well, time will tell. I think so. I hope so. But what happened yesterday was a really positive sign, because it was the first starter so far this year that has given you a quality outing and a great outing, is that for a matter of fact, there with Danny Duffy. He was terrific. I mean, my goodness, for him to step up the way they needed that, right? The offense had carried them the first two wins of the season, 2-1 record, but it was nice to see a starting pitching outing like that from Danny Duffy. And yeah, we'll get into Whit Merrifield later because he's on fire right now, but Danny Duffy was terrific for a guy that we wonder still long-term in terms of this season. Where does he end up? Is it the bullpen or not? And where else could he go? But right now, he gave you a much-needed start when your first three starting pitchers, unfortunately, just didn't have it.
He was really important to just make you feel, because he's both him and Minor are like both swing guys, and it's like it feels like if one's going to be really good this year or just every other week the other's good, you can go a lot further distance with this rotation because it's got plenty of experience. Brad Keller, Mike Minor, Danny Duffy, they're proven get-outs in a big league starters. They're not proven Cy Young contending pitchers, but they are proven get-out starters, right? That's got to count for something. And obviously, we don't know where Brady Singer is yet. He just had one bad outing yet, you know, a couple days ago, so we're not in panic mode on him yet. But I feel fine. Like, I still think the starters kind of will swing this record direction, a few wins one way or the other, but man, do I feel so much better about the bullpen. I watched them lose 106 games, 103 games a few years ago because they couldn't get an out in the bullpen. Last year, when they got hot late, we talked a lot about Mondesi, right, last year, but they were without Dozier for part of that season. They were without Soler for part of that season. They were without a lot of their starters for part of the season. The glue that kind of held the pitching staff, the team together, truthfully, last year when they were a bottom five offense again, was the bullpen. And it looks better this year than it did last year. And that is a huge step forward. For a small market team to find this many arms to compete at that kind of level, to have multiple guys throwing 100 miles an hour, to have multiple guys who seem like they can close out a game, that is a huge difference for me. I am incredibly encouraged by the fact this is their best start since 2016. And I think the bullpen deserves a ton of credit for it.
Mike Matheny's got some options. Like it's sure, you know, to your point there, Lou, he's got some options, it appears, there in the bullpen, and we were wondering what the defined roles will be. I don't think we'll know that for a little more time and into May, perhaps, and maybe even into June a little bit. But the good thing is, with Jesse Hahn yesterday, like, I don't know ultimately if, okay, and I doubt ultimately he's going to be the guy that's going to get usually that situation. I think he was already up throwing. That's why it was him and not Greg Holland. He was able to get out of a little bit of trouble. I know he ended up getting a crucial double play. He gets credit for that. Certainly a great play by Carlos Santana. But the fact that, one, from a psyche standpoint, Mike Matheny sticks with Jesse Hahn there, that's huge for, I think, Jesse Hahn's confidence going forward. But the fact that, all right, Jesse Hahn, you know what? In that scenario, even when things got a little tough, he was able to get out of it unscathed and had runners in scoring position, got out of it unscathed. And then if you look at what we typically would see, like Wade Davis has already shown once this year that he can still look like the old Wade Davis, at least for one outing. Greg Holland, well, you know, he hasn't pitched a whole lot yet. He's just had that one appearance, if I'm not mistaken, so far. But there's been multiple guys that have had outings, and so I like the fact that now there appears to be some options, and the roles will be defined. It is funny. That's excellent to say, hey, what's the over-under now on Duffy starts? Because I think we set the number at 16.
Yeah.
Look, it's only one, but yeah, that very promising start for Duffy if you're thinking about him being able to have 15 or more starts here in 2021. It was a really, really nice start for him.
This is who he is. He is sometimes, and now look, he only went six innings twice last year. He had 11 starts. He only went six innings twice. So, I mean, this is deeper in a game than he was even going last year, but I also don't think you want Danny Duffy to be a consistent 7-8 inning guy. It's just not the risk worth running anymore with him. Especially if you have what I just said, might be one of the best bullpens in baseball. Like in the early going, and I get it, it's the early going. In the early going, they look like they might have one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. I'm not trying to roll Duffy out here for eight innings. Why would I roll the dice on that? That is not worth it on my end. Now, there are some things like that 3-1 record is a bit like, it's a bit of a lie because the offense has now scored what? Five runs in the last two games? That's not great. After an offense explosion in the first two. So they've had two bad offensive games. They've had two tremendous offensive games. And the starting pitching has had three bad starts out of four, and they're 3-1. So this is the old, like, if you looked at, like, run differential, right, in baseball, which eventually becomes a very telling sign in about July or so for how dangerous a team really is. You'd wonder if, like, you know, some of these numbers aren't lying a little bit on Kansas City, but there is no way to not be optimistic about how they've looked. They have looked so much more polished in the beginning part of the season. And our guy Witt looks unstoppable at the plate. So that goes a long way too. I feel good. Like 2016, they were a 500 team. I know that it was four games in, so we're looking at a small sample size, but the last time they started this well, they were a 500 baseball team.
And this week was, and it's just one game of this week too, but now you're in your division. You're, you know, the Rangers aren't supposed to be very good. The Indians, we'll see, right? Ultimately, how
they don't have a very good
is.
Lineup, but they do have a good pitching staff.
Pitching staff's good, but they're going to struggle to score, we think, at least the Indians this year. We'll find out later this week on Thursday, starting on Thursday, with the White Sox. I think we'll continue to learn a lot more about this team in the next 4 to 6 games or so, roughly. And it certainly beats the alternative, okay? It certainly beats the alternative. It's fun that we're talking about the Royals sitting here at 3-1. There's been a lot of positives to take out of the 3-1 start as well. And I think, you know, we'll talk about Whit Merrifield here in about 15 minutes or so, because my goodness, he is as hot as any hitter in baseball right now and out of the gate, and it carried over from spring training, and he has been locked in. And obviously, we had him join us yesterday for his show, and he was talking about how many home runs he's going to hit, and well, he hits another. He's got 9 RBI on the season.
He only said 110 yesterday, though, and unfortunately, he's on pace for 121 now.
Yeah, he's a little
selling himself a little short.
Just a little bit, man. Just a little bit. So we'll talk about him in about 15 minutes or so. Last night, the college basketball season came to an end. And look, hey, it was awesome that they made it through the tournament, considering everything. Hopefully next year's a normal tournament and fans are allowed and 70,000 plus or whatever it is at the Final Four can hopefully witness a great game like we all watched on TV between UCLA and Gonzaga. Last night was a letdown, to say the least. I think no way it was going to live up to what Saturday was, but the game we had been hoping for since November and December, Gonzaga-Baylor, it finally happened. Unfortunately, it was just a dominating performance. If you're just a casual observer and not a Baylor fan, it was a disappointing game because it was domination from the beginning. The athleticism, physicality from Baylor, it was not a good matchup whatsoever for Gonzaga last night from the beginning. 9-1 start to go to the game. Out of the gate there, and they had no answer. Gonzaga had no answer for the athleticism of Baylor. And I know there was a point where Gonzaga tried zone before half, and I gave Gonzaga plenty of credit for getting it to 10 at halftime, but it's still just, like, it was a battle. It was an absolute battle just to get it to 10. And Baylor was a team where their performance shown last night, nobody beats them. Nobody. And doesn't mean Gonzaga. No. I saw some national outlets say, is Gonzaga overrated? No.
Let's not go that far. Stop it. They had one loss in 30-plus games.
Exactly. Like, no, they're not overrated. They were undefeated. They played a very tough non-conference schedule. They got beat by clearly the better basketball team in the Baylor Bears. The Baylor Bears got right at the right time. It was iffy when they had the 3-week absence. And then heading into the NCAA tournament, people were still questioning them. And then that first 2 games of the tournament answered all the questions anybody should have had about Baylor. They were back to being the Baylor pre-COVID in mid-January.
We thought they were the best team, and then I wavered on how they'd perform in the tournament because they weren't playing their best basketball that, like, last week and a half after they got all the COVID stuff and Kansas beat them right, and they didn't quite look like the same team gold, because that was the only team. Do you get a claim national championship runner-up? Who's the team who beat Baylor this year?
Yeah, Kansas. Yeah,
Kansas, right? You feel good? You feel good now?
I mean, I don't know.
They lost in the round of 32.
Really matter.
So you don't get
it. I know.
They lost to Gonzaga, but beat Baylor.
I know who they beat. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But watching last night, I have no idea how on earth KU beat Baylor earlier.
Yeah,
how
did that happen? Well, that's why I started to lose some faith. That caught them at the perfect time. Well, Baylor wasn't playing good basketball.
That was Baylor, who hadn't practiced in 3 weeks. You know, remember they looked like crap against Iowa State.
Yeah, they were down 15 to Iowa State
at halftime. Yeah.
That's embarrassing. Now, they won that game, so it's not as embarrassing as it could have been, obviously, if they had lost that game.
Scott Drew, the job he's done there is remarkable, man.
Why hasn't a blue blood called him?
Well, Indiana made a mistake. If they didn't even reach out to his agent, they're idiots.
Yeah, because they just hired a former NBA or current NBA bench coach instead of that.
Now, we don't know. Maybe they went through backdoor channels and they got quick word that Scott Drew was not interested in Indiana because Indiana's not what it once used to be.
Well,
maybe
he's spent 18 years at Baylor. He's putting enough time now. Why would you leave, right? There's an argument there with Scott Drew. It's like, I put in 18 years in this place. I got a national championship. Why am I bouncing now?
Yeah, but
although
Indiana
if I
was
were
before
Few, I might have a conversation like, screw this, man. Well, I can't win with that team, what am I doing?
Yeah, Mark Few's never, like, I feel way more confident than any coach in the country. Mark Few not leaving.
He has the number one or number two pick in the country, and he couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, like nobody wastes their time with Mark Few. And it's not because he's not a great coach. It's clear he's one of those guys. He's just not leaving. Why?
If you were Kansas and Bill Self was gone tomorrow, you'd call, though, right? They don't have to have this conversation for like a decade. Would you call Few?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, be,
Yeah, would, no, I wouldn't. No.
I mean, the answer could be no.
Four or five other guys I would call first.
That's fine. When you, I
think Few is a, Few's a Hall of Fame coach, and all, he's a great coach, but I, no. No.
Just very quick. Yeah.
Mark, he, Gonzaga, he doesn't, Gonzaga doesn't exist without Mark Few, but that's why he's not leaving. Like, that's what I'm saying. That he's, sure. He's also old enough that's, at this point that Mark Few's not leaving.
That's going to be a fascinating job to find out if it's any good when he's gone. Like, when he's gone, is Gonzaga still a good right. job? A,
that is the million-dollar question, Cody.
And no one knows because Mark Few's been the coach there for 20 damn years, so I don't have any idea whether or not that program is going to stay at the level of program it is now.
Because crappy just, conference.
They are.
You know, so, like, when you're when we're talking about Mark Few, if he ever leaves, like, crappy conference. Spokane, Washington, not exactly a great place to live and draw people in.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, Lawrence gets plenty of bad. Like, I think with college, it matters less.
I disagree.
Like, with college, I think the city, they convinced Drew Gooden to come from, like, L.A. to go play in Lawrence.
Yeah, but...
And I like Lawrence. I like Lawrence.
Now we're going to get into the, like, the whole...
You think Lawrence is better than Spokane as a city?
No, well, yes, I do, but also...
Have you ever been to Spokane?
I actually have. I lived in... It's not... It's actually a drivable distance from where we're living in Boise. It's a long drive, but it's drivable. Spokane, there's, like, if you want to really look it up, it's a crappy city. Population's decreasing, a lot of crime, not a good city.
a lot of crime.
Yeah. Just trashing it.
Spokane sucks.
Yes, so
Spokane
much information
sucks.
I've never been there.
Spokane
I don't know
sucks.
Anything about
but
it.
But that wasn't the
all
point.
Right, fair enough. No, but I was just saying,
I wanted to address your
small college cities, I think you can attract talent no matter the small city.
Overall, like, as far as the point you made about Drew Gooden, like, my answer to you is Kansas is a blue blood, so that doesn't apply. Like,
sure.
Of course, guys from all over will go to KU, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, doesn't matter where you're from.
Look, obviously Kansas is going to recruit different talent to different stages, but, like, I think college towns in general, right? Like, people don't have, like, the highest things to say about College Station. People still go to Texas A&M to play football or basketball. Like, I don't think the city being sucky matters as much to college kids as much as the program does. Like, I don't know that, like, when you're like, hey, it's a no-good city, so that's going to be a no-good job. And look,
I'm just saying,
I clearly wasn't prepared that you were going to have these crime statistics.
You were asking for the full package, and you're saying, how do you weigh a job? You don't think that that's part of the equation?
The city in which they play?
Yes.
Of course it's a small factor.
You don't think it's
factor,
tough to recruit in Manhattan? Like, Manhattan, Kansas, that speaks to getting the job that Bill Snyder did, which is why when people talk about Scott Drew's rebuild job, I still say, Bill Snyder... I still think football program is way tougher to build up than a college basketball program. So I still give the leg up on what Bill Snyder accomplished in Manhattan than what Scott Drew's even done. The two different sports, but I think football is much more challenging
sure,
to do
like,
what
you know,
Bill Snyder did.
Suggs was from like Minneapolis, right? Why did he go to a small town in Spokane, Washington?
Well, you're phrasing the question differently. You said after Mark Few leaves, the answer is Mark Few's build them up to a national power. Gonzaga's a national power. Are they still a national power if Mark Few left?
Sure.
That's the question you asked.
This turned very quickly. Well, yeah, I guess you're saying no because Spokane sucks.
I also said they're in a crappy conference.
Yes. There's a lot that works against that job. There's no doubt. Like I told you, you can't know. You absolutely cannot know if that job will remain good. I was the person who brought it up. I feel good that, like,
that's what I'm saying.
You can't be sure. I just felt like you were awfully quick to dismiss Spokane.
You asked what Spokane. I gave you my opinion.
I feel like a lot of college towns are small.
I gave you my opinion
towns.
On Spokane. I actually do know a little bit about Spokane. Lived in the Pacific Northwest for a little while.
And have apparently visited Spokane.
It's crap.
What?
Go fly there. That's fine. Like 4 hours north is Seattle. That's great. Love Seattle.
I don't know anything about Spokane. I assume it's a perfectly fine
Seattle's
city.
Seattle's great.
What are the crime statistics in Lawrence versus Spokane?
I don't know. I don't have those numbers.
College Station. You did say it was high crime. I felt like you thought you were like ready out the tip.
I mean, no, I just know. I don't have the numbers. Yeah. If you want to look it up, this is not just my opinion. These are
no, I believe you. There's no way. There's no way I have any way to refute this.
There you go. Well, it will be fascinating one day when Mark Few is not the head coach of Gonzaga just to see what that program becomes. Coming up next, your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And man, the first four games for Whit Merrifield have been something special.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, about 10 minutes away from the random question of the day. But first, it is your chance at $1,000 once again in our national cash contest.
You dash for the cash code word. This hour is machine. M-A-C-H-I-N-E. Just text it over to 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner in the national cash contest.
As in the sports machine?
Yeah. Yeah, as in that. M-A-C-H-I-N-E. Text it over to 72881. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. That's machine 272881. I was spending the break. I just want you guys to know. Spending the break, clearing out a few work emails because I got my personal email down to three. I'm down to three emails, and once I sort those into the proper files, I will have zero.
That's
I will have a zero inbox in my personal email. Ah, sweet relief.
It's kind
I do not know how many work emails I have. I'm only back to 2019 right now, so I got some years to not get.
And so how many folders do you have in
Seven.
Your email?
Like, the organizational is almost a little creepy. Like,
why? Doesn't it make me feel... It makes me feel good.
Oh, you should feel good, but also, like, if someone only has three emails showing up in their inbox, I'm thinking, what is this email account fuse for? Who is this? What are they doing?
To continue to get new emails.
This is bizarre.
How often do you need to find an old email?
Not very often at all.
That's exactly why you should have zero. This is why you should, but you I don't, should I don't live need this it. Life.
I'm not digging through them anyway.
I would say I have to find them a lot, and you know, I just search for what they are, and they pull up, but... My Gmail's long gone. There's no saving it. My work email
is long gone. You've just given up?
Yeah. Oh, if an email could be dead, it's dead.
Why? I mean, just because you got 9,000? I used to be like you, Serta. I once had like 1,300, and I couldn't believe myself.
I told you about this app I used to unsubscribe from stuff, so I stopped getting those. I did that the other day to try to clear out some of the clutter, but I'm inevitably going to sign up for more things and get more garbage emails.
That's good. You got them cleared out, though. Mine's like 9,000 on the personal. The work one's probably at, actually, not as bad as my personal one. Work is less right now. I've done a decent job at keeping that.
You've
one.
Only worked
and
here
it's only been a
year,
year or 15
so
months or whatever.
Your personal
is.
Email's yeah. got 10 years worth of yeah. growth on it.
Yeah, at least whatever.
What's the oldest email you think you got in there?
I mean, I can tell
you. You holding on to something from like 2012 or something?
Man, how would I find that? Can I skip to the last page of emails?
I would think so.
I don't know if I
can. Sort by oldest. You can sort at the top of Gmail. Just sort by your oldest email. And like, think about the fact that it's just sitting in there, sitting in your account, offering you nothing.
I don't know if you can sort by that.
What do you mean?
No, I don't think I can.
Mm. Okay. My oldest email's from...
here we go. There it is.
March 12th.
June 13th, 2013. And ironically enough, it's an email from an old boss. So there you go.
Does it matter?
Does
it say nice things about you? Do you need it? Or are you fired in it? What are you holding on to?
No, and actually, it had to do with back when I actually it had to do when I was a part-time or intern here. If you really want to know, so yeah.
So it's from John Hansen.
It is. Yeah, 2013. Yeah, that's the oldest email in my email account. There you go.
Kudos. I would bizarre. Delete it. You can delete it right now. It's not too late.
I just exited out.
You could have deleted it.
Fine, just keep it. You never know.
You could have gotten
it. You never know. You know, you just need to have it. You never know. There's a lot other ones I would rather delete. There you go.
Join me in the zero inbox club.
They deleted 98,000 emails. Took them 2 hours, even with bulk deleting. Two hours.
Bulk deleting, man. Search
by. You can't just like right click on the folder and delete all of them?
Yeah, he could delete everything in his inbox. You said you don't need it for anything. Start clean.
I don't want to delete all of them.
Start
I would
fresh.
Delete anything older than 2018, I'd be fine with, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly never going to go through them.
Why not?
That's crazy.
Anyway.
I'm going to go through. I'm going through my work email now. I'm about like so in the bar in the break. So like the scroll bar.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a foot long. It's 12 inches. I'm probably maybe like 10% through. So I got some work left to do on the work email, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to zero inbox. I'm going to feel great. Feel great at the end of this.
So Whit Merrifield joins us each and every Monday, Whit Merrifield Show, at 11 o'clock. And we've, of course, had him on a few times already this year. And he was talking about his home run numbers. Initially, what? He was like, 35 or so I think I can hit. Yesterday, he kind of joked around with us, and he was on pace. He's like, maybe 110. 110 home runs or so. I was about to say 110 emails. 110 home runs or so. And yesterday, man, he keeps hitting the ball as good as anybody in baseball right now out of the gate. So he hits another home run, as we know, and he ends up with 3 more RBI. He's sitting there at 9 RBI on the season.
Through 4 games.
Through 4 games, he's got 4 extra base hits already on the young season. Like, nobody's as locked in right now in baseball as Whit Merrifield. It has been fun to watch the early going from Whit. And he was always a guy, top of the order, nobody's worried about no matter what. Like, you know what you're getting from Whit Merrifield, but right now you're getting as good as anybody in baseball through the first 4 games.
I think a lot of this can just be traced back to the thing he has told us multiple times. I think, and look, he gets dialed in anyway. He hits like this for stretches. I think particularly he's hitting this way because he is determined to make this a winning season. They, as a team, feel determined in the early going to prove most of the predictors wrong, us included, right? You had him at what, 75 wins?
74.
I didn't have him above 80. We're in the same boat. I had him in the same range you did. And I think that when you look at that, it's looking to prove us wrong, that they are a competitor right now. Right now. So Wade, I think, is playing that way as the leader of this. But this is nothing new. I've told you before, Wade is a top 25 player in baseball. If baseball ever figured, the only way baseball will ever figure this out is if the Royals get good. Like we talked about, remember how much love Ben Zobrist used to get nationally? Like, just all the time, man. People just talk about his super utility ability. Look at Ben Zobrist. He's a perfect fit for any team. And look, the Royals eventually traded for Ben Zobrist and went on to win a World Series as part of that move. They had Ben Zobrist in their organization. They just didn't know it.
Right.
In Whit Merrifield. He gets on base. He hits. He occasionally shows some extra power. And that's year to year, right? Not every year he's going to be a 20 home run hitter, but he can flirt upwards of that number. He's never hit 20, but he can flirt upwards of that number when he starts getting there. That's what's to love about Whit. He is their most important. He's their best player.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's their most important as far as swings and the wins, but he is absolutely the most reliable player on the entire team. He's one of the most reliable players in all of baseball. This start does not surprise me.
It's been quite the start, though, and no reason to think it's not going to, at least in the short term, right, continue. Of course, the home runs and all that, at some point you would think we'll level out, but we're going to enjoy it while it lasts. Also, at some point, you know, I think, like you said, we've got to flip the script here. We've been told we are jinxes and curses and all this kind of stuff.
You know what? Yeah.
So far, weekly interview with Whit Merrifield has turned out pretty well for everybody.
Maybe we're just bad luck for football players. Have you considered that?
That is certainly a possibility. I've also, as I've told you, what you're not allowed to do over the course of the baseball season, and that is just that there's no, even though Witt's got some really cool hats. I'm sure people, that Witt would love for people to go and purchase, because they actually are really good looking hats, and you know I'm not a hat guy.
You're helping
guy.
Right now.
But I don't think you should be wearing any of that gear. At least not while he's red hot. If he cools down, then you can buy it, because then it's like, okay, there's no question. We don't need you. We don't need
not
this.
While
like,
he's hot.
He's hot right now. We don't need you showing up with a Whit Merrifield hat. I shouldn't go buy a Whit shirt or anything. None of that should happen right now until he cools off. Because then you don't want the blame game being played.
Can we offer him one of our shirts?
Sure. Yeah. I still don't think we want to mess with anything until he cools off.
Until he's like a normal hitter, yeah, not
right
hitting
now, right now
500 with three home runs and nine RBI in four games.
He's as good as any hitter in baseball right now. So we can do that. We need to just be careful. Be careful with it.
I think he should cut the sleeves off of the Cody and Gold shirt.
I mean,
show up with the guns out and he'll slap a home run that day.
What, do you think he'd wear one if he hit a home run? Like if I sent him a text tonight and said, if you hit a home run tomorrow, will you wear a Cody and Gold shirt?
See, you just made a mistake right there. No.
After he's...
No texting about the home runs to him until he's cooled off.
Okay.
We don't want to mess with any of this.
It's good. I'll lay low.
We don't need that on this show.
I'll lay low.
Just wait. Yeah. Now, if all of a sudden he's... Even if one day... If he goes hitless one night in the next week or so, then that's when you text and you start changing things up. Right now, he's on fire. You can't mess with it.
We need him to keep hitting hot after he comes on the show. Like, he can keep hitting home runs after he comes on the show, and then we can convince him that we're the good luck charm, and to keep it going, he's got to wear the shirt.
Came on opening day, hit a home run. Mm-hmm. Came on Monday, hit a home run. Mm-hmm. We are 2-for-2. I don't know what to tell her. We are 2-for-2 on the immediate follow-up aftermath of coming on this show and immediate home run stuff. I will say the one thing about offense, and Whit has obviously been great, the one thing about offense that has completely stood out, because we mentioned the bullpen's been great. The starters have largely been not good, although Duffy was good yesterday. The one thing that has stood out on offense that we haven't seen in forever in Kansas City, they walk. Oh, my God, they walk. They walked six times yesterday, and they struck out more than they walked. But I already told you 2 days ago they had two times where they walked more than they struck out. That's as many as they had all of last season. Like, they get on base, and what a relief. That is, you know, Whit gets some RBI. People are on base. What a nice change of pace.
It's been nice to watch. It has. I do think some of it starts with Carlos Santana in the lineup, right? And kind of the, you know, I don't know if it's contagious, but it certainly has maybe allowed the thought process to differ. I mean, even Salvador Perez after Sunday's game talked about how he felt like he needed to be more patient. Like, it seems like it's just more, it's in their minds a little bit more. I know it sounds weird, but I feel like that's what's happening too. When you've got someone in front of you in the order and Carlos Santana, who you know is going to give you a patient plate appearance, I think it does trickle down a little bit to some of the other guys. So that, we'll see if that continues, right? But that was a huge positive again in the win yesterday. While there wasn't a ton of offense and all your runs came courtesy of Whit Merrifield, who had three RBI, it was still nice to see the plate appearance, especially against a Cleveland team that their pitching staff, right? That's their strength. That's the Indian strength. So that was a nice welcome sign as well. I'm with you there. Definitely like seeing that out there against Cleveland. Of course, the Royals are off today. They're back at it tomorrow. 12:10 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. We do not know who the starting pitcher will be yet for KC. Brad Keller bumped to Thursday. Of course, the Brad Keller show was earlier this morning on 610 Sports Radio with Fesco in the morning, and Kling was talking to him. It sounds like the guy's out golfing today, so we'll see what those scores come in at. We'll have to ask Whit on Monday when he joins us.
I bet he shoots in the 70s or low 80s all the time.
Must be nice.
He's just one of those, just, like, you know, I mean, we talk about, like, Pat Mahomes is just good at everything.
Just a great athlete.
I'm just good at everything. He probably beat you in darts or beer pong or whatever it is. He is the Mahomes version of the baseball version, right? I do a little bit of everything well. There's no way I would even if Whit invited you and I to golf, I wouldn't go until either of us could actually shoot under 100 confidently. And I'm not, I want to be better at golf. Should we go to the? I should go to the driving range today. Ketz is always telling me he'll hook me up.
He has offered.
I'm not sure if that's against his company policy, but he claims he will.
He's in charge.
He's
in charge.
Does that scare you a little bit, sir? Do you know Ketz better than the rest of us? Should he be in charge of anything?
He's a manager
is in his title.
Hey, whatever. If he's going to give you free stuff.
That's the way to look at it.
I invited him to play frisbee golf the other day.
Did he come?
No.
Coward. Why didn't you invite me? I've told you I've played before.
I don't know. I just happened to be in Northtown, and I know he lives over there, so I texted him.
Got it. That's the problem with his driving range that he's at. That's way out of the way for me. Way out of the
very
way.
Very out of the way for you. You got to get lessons or something. You're just going to have to pay for lessons. Like, if you want to be good at golf at this point, if either of us want to be good at golf, we're going to have to pay a professional to make us good at golf.
Good is relative because it's like...
I just want to shoot like 89.
I don't need to be 92. Good. I just need a point where I can get through 18 for an outing, if people want us to invite us to an outing, and we're not embarrassing ourselves. That's all I need to be at.
16 golf tournament, I'm not an embarrassment.
That's it.
Playing a foursome with me, like, this sucks.
I don't need to be good. I don't need to be the best guy in the foursome of the golfing range or a golf course. That doesn't need to happen.
You just want to play a four-man scramble and have somebody use one of your shots every nine holes.
Yeah, I'm not a golfer.
Little breaking news here into 610 Sports Radio. Jacob Junis will be the starter for tomorrow. Now you know.
We were wondering. You had mentioned Hernandez. We had both talked about Jacob Junis. I thought maybe he would be in the mix as well. So there you go.
Okay. I'm not against Jacob Junis starting in this game. But I'll be honest. I would have preferred Hernandez because I thought Jacob Junis looked great as a reliever. Like,
he did.
Legitimately great. There's obviously more value in Jacob Junis as a starter. So if you're a believer that this extra pitch he's picked up, this cutter he's throwing now, is the difference between Jacob Junis not quite good enough to be a back-end starter and Jacob Junis the starter, there's an argument to be made. Let it play out on the big stage. Let him be a starter for tomorrow and then figure out which way it goes. I'd have preferred the Carlos Hernandez route, but I understand why Jacob Junis would be the starter tomorrow.
Yeah, and look, there's still a chance you see Carlos Hernandez tomorrow, depending on how things go with Jacob Junis. If for some reason, if Junis is only able to give you a three tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if Zimmer or Carlos Hernandez is the next guy out of the pen at that point in time. This early in the season, I'm fine. And Junis was impressive in the pen. And by the way, even if Junis looks really good tomorrow, I don't think ultimately that will change a whole lot, though, Cody.
But is he the fifth starter moving forward? Because that's the question.
Well, it impacts Chris Bubich's trajectory and where he might go. And obviously, if they continue to work on things with Bubich down in the minor league levels, as he's not on the opening, he wasn't on the opening day roster. So yeah,
I think it's Junis' job until he loses it. He goes out and throws four innings of one run baseball, he'll make the next start.
Yeah, well, then why should, but if that's the case, then why should
we complain?
Like,
that's more than fair.
I get where you're at, which is like, it seems like this guy could be a legit dominant bullpen arm for this organization. In the short term, though, if he goes out and once, if he's going to have good outings as a starter,
why would we complain?
I'm certainly not going to complain about it at that point. And I think if that's the case, and maybe he did figure some things out. We'll find out tomorrow. Again, 12-10 first pitch. Now we know Jacob Junis is going to be on the bump against the Cleveland Indians. That gives us some clarity, at least on that part of it.
I'm still confused about why Brad Keller got bumped back a day. Like, we even had, like, do we need to talk about, like, is he hurt or? And probably not. It's just like he threw 51 pitches and then
we'll find out Thursday, pushed him back a day.
I was just confused. He's obviously starting, so he's fine, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out Thursday, too. Like, how does he look? I mean, if he follows up that outing with another iffy outing, then you start to asking some questions in that regard. But if he goes out and looks great on Thursday and gives you 5-6 plus innings, then we're okay, whatever. Just throw it away. And that was just wanted to have him open up in Chicago instead of open up in Cleveland for whatever reason.
And I'm aware, just like anybody else, he threw more sliders than normal in the first outing. But that could just be because he didn't have fastball command because he wasn't very sharp in that game. I can't judge anything that happens in an inning in a third and extrapolate it out. I was just curious why he got bumped back a day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Certain. For the text line over 913-576-7610. The random question of the day is brought to you by The Window Source of Kansas City. You can thank Brandon Marshall for this one. He was on his podcast with Channing Crowder and was adamant about how many guys on NBA rosters are actually paid. The problem was he's wrong.
There's four guys on the NBA team that got guaranteed contracts, and everybody else can be cut today and don't get nothing.
And don't have land dime.
Look it up. It's not guaranteed.
He's wrong. There's more than four guys in an NBA roster.
He was fired up. That goes on for like 2 minutes, doesn't it?
Oh, it's legitimately like 2.5 minutes long, and Brandon Marshall is adamant about it. He's wrong. He's dead wrong. So the question I have for you today and over at 913-576-7610 is, what is something you have been incredibly wrong on?
Mm. Like, yeah, so, like, it's not, I didn't go on, like, a huge rant. I wasn't, like, this staunch defender of it, but I was stunned to learn that the movie Titanic,
yes,
the story, like, the Titanic itself is
a real ship.
It's real, right?
Yes.
For years, I thought that the story of Rose and Jack
was real.
Yeah, that was one thing I was wrong. I probably didn't know this until I was like 14 or 15, that, you know what, that's not real. Like, I thought, the reason why I thought it was real, because they bring in the old lady for the interview on the ship and all that. Like, I thought that was a movie. I thought that was all, years ago, I thought that was all real. I was completely wrong. I was devastated when I learned that that was all fake and that was all made up.
Well, you thought romance was dead or something? What was the problem?
I thought that because they showed the old lady watching it on TV and she calls up Bill Paxton and
he's an actor. She's an actress.
And they go on the ship and he interviews her essentially and she's telling a story, and then it has the fact that it cut back to her on the, like, there were cutbacks a few times to present day and all that. Yeah, that was one thing I was dead wrong on up until I was probably I don't know. Textline says that some people said, holy crap, me too, I'm not alone on this one.
I can't believe you're alone.
Well, no,
someone said I was today years old.
I'm not alone on this one.
Had you never seen Twister? Did you not know Bill Paxton was an actor?
That wasn't the part that I was confused about, though. Like, I knew it
you
was.
You thought he was interviewing the real, like, lady?
Yes, that was the part. I knew Bill Paxton was an actor. Of course I've seen Twister. I also knew the movie was a movie, not a documentary. But I still felt like, again, this was years ago, that because they were interviewing, I thought it was part of a, and they were doing flashbacks. Yeah.
So you thought that Leonardo DiCaprio really did the King of the World thing?
Oh yeah,
and that he he did a charcoal drawing of a nude Kate Winslet,
and she threw a diamond into the ocean.
Oh yeah, yeah. By the way,
how would they?
Kate Winslet's essentially a murderer in the film too, because she could have just moved over a little bit and given Jack a little bit more room. Okay,
well, you're gonna call her a murderer? At the very least, maybe heartless. You could go that
way. She could have let him have some more room on that dresser or whatever it was.
What if
it
would have sunk?
Wouldn't have. Selfish act.
Selfish act of survival in the cold waters in the Titanic.
What about you guys? Have any?
First, from the 785, someone says they were incredibly wrong about Matheny, so they're rewriting their history
already. Already, wow.
I mean, good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
sir, do you got anything?
We've all been wrong.
At a weird point in my movie fandom, I was really convinced that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was going to be a good movie. It's not.
Did you think it was a good movie after you watched it?
No.
Like, okay. I've done that with a movie and then gone back.
I'll go see bad movies and ride them out, like, through the end. That's the only movie I've ever gotten up and walked out of early.
Is there, what, okay, see, because that's a good, like, there are movies that you're like, that was a good movie and I enjoyed it. And then years later, you're like, what am I doing here? What was I even thinking?
Well, like, I remember when it came out in 2012. I remember watching a bunch of, like, HBO first looks on it, and they were talking about, like, what a dark film it was. And I know the whole idea of it's absurd, but I was like, oh, if this is, like, genuinely a dark gothic horror film, it could actually be really interesting. No, it's like a cartoon. It's awful. I'm pretty sure the guy that starred as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter in that movie never made anything else because he was so awful.
From the 816, thought Ben Franklin was a president for years because he's on the 100. That's an easy one. I like this one. From the 816, I died on the sword thinking Barks Root Beer was Bargs with a G.
Bargs.
Could you imagine just being like, hey man, can I get a Bargs Root Beer? Like, that doesn't exist. That's not a thing. It's Barks. Be like, no, it's Bargs. That's clearly a G. That's exactly the kind of thing I was looking for from the text.
Yeah.
That is absolutely it.
Mythbusters says, one of the text lines, Mythbusters said Rose could not have made it onto that door. Like, they don't think it was possible for her, for them both to be on there.
Okay. It's just so many good ones. We all get, like, movies is an easy one because there's always, or a song, like music you used to think was good, and then you, like, you know, get a little older.
Or if you have a terrible take about 90s music and you're dead
wrong
about it.
No, I don't regret that at all.
That kind of stuff.
I was really wrong about Cordero Patterson.
You thought he was going to be great?
I thought he was going to be really good.
I told you earlier, I thought Mariota was going to be really good. I was very wrong about that. Most recently in the draft, I was dead set Tua was better than Herbert. And right now, that doesn't look very smart. At least I got a few more years to play that out before I look stupid.
I mean, it's going to, it'd be tough to overcome that as far. But yes, I'm with you. I think a lot of people are on the same boat.
I also thought Shane Costa should play more if we're talking about for the Royals. From just a sports perspective, there's several wrong answers in that equation.
Yeah, because text lines go in that angle, too. Someone said, I thought Alex Smith, this was from the 785, I thought Alex Smith should have started one more year over Mahomes. Thankfully, I was wrong. So yeah, a lot of people going with the sports angle on it.
Did you like the Bill Self hire when it happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was 12 years old at the time. Oh, so I was like, sure.
No way to be wrong.
I was like, sure. Yeah.
I liked the Andy Reid hire. I could see why. There were some people who didn't just because they thought a retread coach was flaming out in Philly. Like, people
I was excited about it. I never would have imagined the type of success he's had by any means. Now, I never could have imagined that the Chiefs would find the best quarterback in the NFL ever in this franchise. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
But I was excited about the read. I never would have thought that they would have won a Super Bowl.
From the 913, I swore RG3 was going to change the world. I
mean, didn't we all? My goodness. RG3 was so special. From the 816,
thought ACDC's Dirty Deeds was Dirty Deeds and the Dunder Chief. Missed lyrics, man. Boy, those are easy. That's an easy one in this category. It's whether or not you fight it or not. That was the question you have to ask.
Brandon Marshall was still like, he was angry.
He was so adamant. He was fighting like if someone accused you of cheating and you're like, I didn't cheat. I'm not doing that. He was that down the rabbit hole on it. Sounds like you were that way with Titanic for at least a little bit.
Yeah. No, it was a stunning day for me at age 14 to learn that it was all fake. Titanic's still a classic. Are we good on that still? Still a classic?
It's fine.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Guess.
Here we go. No? By the way, Ryan's on the same page with me. We were talking before the opening day. Ryan is actually on the same page as me on Armageddon. He's like, you know what? Soundtrack, you're not wrong on that. Film, not wrong on that.
He can't be. I don't believe
he did. He did say that. In fairness, he said he said if it came on TV, he wouldn't watch it unless it was past the part they were already in space. So he's essentially admitting he doesn't want to watch half the movie.
Yeah, well, it's got to be. It's usually on the way up to space. It gets really interesting.
No, I saw Titanic on a field trip in school.
Yeah, that's what you've said.
But no, I do not think it's. If I never saw Titanic again, and I haven't for a number of years, I'll be fine.
I enjoyed watching the clip this morning. Oh, and this morning we watched a clip.
I think you might like bad movies. You like Armageddon, Titanic,
Pearl Harbor. They're not bad
movies. These are all not good movies.
They're not bad movies.
Serta is the raids. Are any of those good movies, Serta? Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, Titanic, are any of those good movies?
No, I mean, they're...
Now, Titanic, I mean, this has great actors and actresses. Like,
they're commercially successful. And I would say Titanic is probably a well-put-together film. But, like, I'm not going to go rewatch Titanic. It's also like 3 hours long, isn't it?
That's part of the problem.
One best picture, not a good movie. Apparently.
I mean, it's one of the highest grossing films
best director.
But James Cameron just knows how to make a blockbuster.
Best directing, not a good movie, apparently.
Well, you think best picture means it's a good movie?
It's one of the qualifications.
If you're going to go against it. It won best picture. It sucked. That movie sucked. You hear me? It sucked, Serta.
One for best music.
If you liked it or not, it won best picture. Well, it sucked.
One for best music. Multiple awards.
Look up what won in 1994 and tell me that it's better than the other movies that won there. It should just be best picture. Best picture does not make the best movie. I mean, I'm not saying Pearl Harbor is terrible.
You said
right, I'll give you that.
Though. You said though
it's a bad movie.
You said it's a bad movie, and
I think it's probably not a bad movie.
My argument was never that it's better than all the other movies. My argument, if you're going to say it's a crap movie, how can it be a crap movie if it won? By the way, Schindler's List.
There's plenty of bad movies that are commercially successful, but that doesn't mean they're good. 90s. Pearl Harbor made $449 million, and it is a garbage movie.
Garbage is strong.
It is bad. That movie is.
You know where I'm at on that. I don't think it's
bad.
I don't think it's bad. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Danny Welniak from KCTV 5. We'll ask her about the opening start here for the Royals in 2021.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.